are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports, so I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
Hey, and I'm Eddie, and I know the least about sports, but I'm your average sports fan, your sports watcher. I just don't know the who's who's or the what's what's.
What's up, you guys? I'm Ray. I'm the alpha male on the show. I'm from the north, and I'm the type of person that does shotguns at a bar. So I will take a can, puncture it, and then drink it in the corner at the bar so that I also can get drunk and not get kicked out. And I see people are sending us videos. Keep them coming, baby!
Someone did send us a video of them shotgunning a White Claw, saying it can be done, so maybe Ray does do that at the bar.
So do we want to encourage people to keep sending these videos and then hashtagging them something different?
Oh, what do you want to hashtag?
Like, it can be like White Claw.
No, we need to Sore Losers Chug.
Okay, Sore Losers Chug.
Hashtag in our Twitter.
But it's got to be with a White Claw.
No, it can be with whatever.
It can be whatever. At Sore Losers Show on Twitter, and let's play the game America loves.
What's the hashtag again?
Sore Losers Chug.
Okay, got it.
Or no, Sore Losers Shotgun. Not Chug.
Okay. Sore Losers Shotgun is the hashtag.
Yes.
Ray, right. We'll start it with you today.
Don't have any drinks here.
I'll get one.
All right, no, let's play the game America loves. Would you rather? Would you rather be a bird or a fish?
Oh, the hell? Here we go.
Yeah, man. The bird thing is the more fascinating. I'm more interested in the land. Honestly, guys, when I went to Fort Lauderdale, they took us out to the water. It freaking sucked. It was moving. I don't love the ocean. Do I like surfing? Yes. But, man, screw that aquatic.
Surf.
Yeah, I do. In Costa Rica,
That's called wakeboarding.
No.
Wait, it's skimboarding.
I skimboarded and I surfed. I don't get to every weekend, no. But when I'm at a place where there's some big double overhead, you got barrel rolls, I'm going to surf. But, guys, I like some stuff with water, but I'm all land, man. Being a bird, you can go wherever you want. Screw the water.
I love the ocean. Like, I'm just fascinated with the ocean. I love fish. I love that we don't even know what's so far down there. There are fish that we don't even know exist because they live.
You said that exact same sentence.
That's what I love about the ocean. However, birds can do everything. Birds can walk on land. They can fly in the air. They don't have to worry about some big-ass shark coming to eat them in the middle of the night. Like, really, just fly away from the other bird. Like, it's not a big deal. I don't see a lot of birds get eaten by other birds. Really. The only enemy or bad thing that a bird has to watch out for?
Glass windows.
Shotguns.
And cars.
Hunting season. That does happen. You're right. Sliding doors. Glass sliding doors. But that's it. Give me a bird. I love the bird's eye view. Like, when you stand on top of a mountain and you look at the whole, like, landscape, it's beautiful. Can you imagine seeing that all the time? Give me a bird.
Man. There we go. A fish is cool.
Awesome.
A fish is so cool that the way they move, and they get to see so much that we don't get to see underneath the water.
Bingo.
But if you get stuck in a lake, that's kind of gross. There's nothing really cool under a lake except for a bunch of rusted beer cans. If you're an ocean fish, okay, you got a pretty cool life. You're out there with all the, you know, blue water and the coral reef and all this and dolphins and all that cool stuff. But the thing about a fish is you never get to chill. Like, a bird can stop and enjoy the view. A fish is all we got to be moving, right?
No, they chill.
Like, they chill.
You ever seen a fish sleep?
No.
They literally just hover. They stay right there. They don't move anything and they just hover. It's really weird.
Never seen a fish sleep because I've never owned fish in my life. Never had a fish tank. So I've never seen fish sleep. So I think I'm going with a bird, too.
Yeah. Bird.
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 Just for the scenery.
All right.
And that's how you play.
Would you rather? Game on!
Jake Owen might be my favorite guy ever now.
The country singer?
The country singer. He was on a...
Did you pick up his new album?
No, he was on Barstool's 4Play podcast on Monday.
Yeah, listen to them instead of us. Turn ours and off right now and listen to Barstool Sports.
He was talking about how he got in a spat, a verbal confrontation with Phil Mickelson last year at Jordan Spieth's wedding. It was the day after the whole Phil-Tiger matchup.
Oh, wow. That was recently.
Yeah, so in November.
Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thanksgiving
and
weekend.
And he said... I went up to Phil, and I was like, hey, Phil, You owe me blanking $29.99 for that, for wasting 4 hours of my life with the blankiest golf I've ever seen. I want my $29.99 back and apologize to me for some blanky golf.
That's funny. I mean, he obviously, Jake's like having a few drinks at the wedding. And he's just like, let me be funny and mess with Phil real quick. He's not really wanting his money back.
And Phil responded with,
go blank yourself.
I won 90,000 of these yesterday. And he took out a stack of hundreds and handed him one and said, take one of these and go blank yourself.
So I like, and the video, like Phil better in that situation. Get out of here. So you have a couple beers and you think you just walk up to whoever you want and say whatever you want? Nope. Look, I won a crap load of these. Here, take whatever you want.
Go blank yourself.
I love it. I love that, Phil Mickelson. I love it.
What a great response with, I won 90,000 of these.
Yep.
And he pulls out a wad of cash and tells him to blank off. And then, so the video comes out and Phil Mickelson responded on Twitter. True story.
I love, like, you watch Phil, like, I guess the what we kind of take the most out of, like, watching a player is not when they're playing the actual round, but afterwards, interviews or seeing them interact with fans, yes, or whatever. Then you kind of feel like you have an idea. And Phil never leads you to believe that he would even say the F word. Like, Phil hits a bad shot, he just kind of...
You know that he says the F word. Well,
because of stories like this. Yeah. But like, if you look at him, he looks like a very peaceful person.
They all do. Which one gets mad at themselves?
Jordan.
Tiger does,
Tiger.
Too.
Tiger.
Go ahead. DeChambeau.
Justin Thomas.
DeChambeau
Justin
does?
Thomas. Yes.
Justin Thomas does.
Sergio, he pretty much beats the green up.
Okay. Well, so does Phil. He hits the ball as it's rolling off the green.
No, but I'm saying show anger. Like... What I'm saying is this is...
Right, you're right. Phil doesn't really show anger.
He's a very peaceful player.
Phil goes for the... He goes for it all. He goes for all or nothing. He doesn't lay up. He is hitting crazy shots. And you don't ever see him like, man, he just like, well, that was close. Like,
if it was bad, he just kind of does a little like shoulder shrug, like, that sucked. But he never says like, son of a...
Beep, but I do like when the only frustration you kind of see is he takes off his hat, slicks his hair, yes, and puts his hat back on.
Correct. So here in this story gives us now a sense of what Phil's really like. I love that he's like, yeah.
But when you heard that about Phil, were you shocked?
No.
Exactly.
Well, here's my thing.
But I'm not shocked because I figure everyone's different than what we see on TV. Everyone. I don't think there's one person that we watch on television, athlete, actor, musician, famous person, that's really like that in person.
Good point.
I don't even think Phil looks bad in this position.
No, he doesn't. Because it's a great moment.
He's at a wedding, and he's like, this drunk jacko wants to get away from me. Like, who are you, and what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know if Phil Mickelson knows who Jake Owen is.
I think he does, I bet it was a joke. He's played the PG Pro-Am before.
You're right. He probably does. Because of that, he plays Pebble Beach
every year. Yeah, it's a jokey moment. I think they were joking, but at the same time, there was F-words flying, there was money exchanged, and they were a little serious.
There was like lubrication,
Yeah, you can joke and be dead serious at the same time. Like, yeah, seriously, go F yourself. Like, you can say it in a jokey way, but kind of mean it. I bet there was a lot of that.
But that's so funny. The fact that Phil whipped out a $100 bill and gave it to him.
The fact that Phil carries cash?
They gamble. I mean,
okay.
I think that's
one inch. You, how much cash are you carrying? Because
I don't make Phil Mickelson money.
He didn't win 90,000 of those yesterday Phil did.
If Phil actually doesn't give him to a personal assistant, he puts him in his damn pocket.
He probably gambles on everything. They probably gamble a lot.
Somebody that has cash,
and so he's going to a wedding with a bunch of golfers and famous people. He's probably got a couple thousand in his pocket to gamble on. Hey, I bet you I can throw a rock closer to that tree than you can,
guys. And here's the deal: if you're on the golf course and somebody's carrying money, probably usually gamble when
they're
playing golf.
And you don't want to play them. Cash on them and they offer to gamble against you in golf, the idea is don't do it because they are probably hustling
That's
you.
That's a good
and hear
tip.
Me out on this one.
At a pool hall. If some guy Shark. Is just hanging around and he's like, hey, you want to play a game? You want to play for money? $10, $20? They're probably hustling you. My buddy Austin in high school would go to the pool hall and he was a little 17-year-old, 18-year-old punk kid. So everybody thought, oh man, we'll take it. He cleaned house. He hustled these fools all day long at Slick Willie's, and he took their money. Just be careful.
So can I? I'm going to tell this story.
Watch out for Slick Willie.
This is told from someone that I know who had a conversation with someone on a plane. Okay. So I did not have a conversation with this person. It started at a party. I was talking to this guy, and he goes, "Man, you get to meet real interesting people when you just ask the question, 'What do you do?' It's annoying." To just be like, why is this a thing? Why does everyone always ask, what do you do for a living? But he said one time he was on a plane and he sat next to some dude and he asked him, what do you do for a living?
Because a lot of times you get a boring answer.
Yeah, because it's okay, dumb. Yes. I'm a banker. Cool. Awesome. I'm a secretary. But in this case, he goes, actually, I'm a gambler. And my buddy was like, tell me more.
Imagine if we heard that on the plane. I'd be like,
what do you mean you're a gambler? And he says, well, I go to every PGA Tour event on Fridays, and I wait for people to get cut. And when these golfers get cut, they usually go straight to another course and start playing for money Friday evening, Friday late afternoon, Saturday, Sunday. They stay in that city for the rest of the weekend hustling either each other or other people. He said that this guy was just good enough to be able to beat some pros, but really not good enough to be a consistent PGA golfer. So this guy, he said he used to play Phil Mickelson, said he hasn't seen Phil do that in years. But back in the day, Phil was there every time he missed the cut. Usually he plays these like players.
That is an amazingly fascinating story that I'm blown away you've never told me before.
I think he's told us.
And you're, not me.
You've heard it, right, Lance?
Yeah, I think he's told me.
And you've told me. I would know if I've heard it. And you've telling me these guys stick around at tournaments and play the next day because they're so hungry for
that
money.
Well, if you think about it, you're just like,
you
got to
earn money because you're not making, if you don't make the cut, you make no money. So you got to make money that weekend.
So gamble it.
So you go and you take a chance.
Yeah. And he said that, well, there was this one time when Phil Mickelson got into a fist fight with another dude because Phil Mickelson didn't want to play because he thought he cheated. Like, how crazy is that?
Oh, didn't want to pay.
Phil Mickelson said, I'm not paying you because you cheated on this hole.
I love the story, but you're telling me that guy follows these people around to the PGA tournaments like a stalker.
No, they know each other by now.
Okay.
By now, that makes sense. By now, they're a group of people that all know each other.
I thought he would just be in the clubhouse. Oh, here comes Phil. Get my clubs ready. Hole one. But he knows these people.
Oh, Phil, you're playing by yourself. We're going to partner you up with this guy, Jim, from down the road.
And here's Jim. He's already playing. 18, guys, he's sweating, he's got his water, his Gatorade.
Imagine the amount of money for you to like be gambling, for you to even think about staying.
Because you have to
or traveling to
pay
that
hotel,
city.
Flight, all that, and you have to.
But you already have it booked though, because you think you're staying the whole weekend. So it does make sense that they stick around and don't cancel their reservations and stuff.
Right. And speaking of, my buddy Austin is now a professional gambler. He plays poker for a living.
Excuse me?
He's a professional gambler.
In what city?
They've probably traveled
to him. He lives in Dallas, but he travels to Vegas. He was on the World Series of Poker a couple years ago.
What is he, moneymaker?
He got top 50, and they said, oh, Austin will have enough money. He'll leave here with, he can play a couple rounds at Barton Creek Country Club. You know, and so they showed him on TV. And one time online, my buddy Forrest sent me a clip. Austin Lewis wins $196,000 in poker tournament. He won the championship. So we meet up holidays. We see each other in Austin. We get together, go to the bar. We all hang out. And talking to him, and I'm like, man, I like to gamble. He goes, you don't gamble. I was like, yeah, I like go to, and he goes, you don't gamble. He said, gambling is when you are sitting there and you have to decide, do I make this bet because I got to feed my family?
That's gambling.
He goes, what you do in Vegas
is you
enjoy spending money. He goes, you don't gamble. I mean, he got so serious.
Oh. I wish you would tell my wife that because she's just like, you know, like, you're spending too much money on gambling. I'm not gambling. I'm going to tell her that exactly what you said. Lunch, I'm going home today and be like, I'm not a gambler. I like to waste my... Wait, what is it? How does it go again?
He said, you don't gamble. He said, you like to spend money.
Spend money.
He goes, you're just spending money. He goes, gambling is when you are worried you can't make your mortgage payment if you lose this bet. That is called gambling because you're gambling with everything you own.
Now, Ray.
Smart.
Sort of like Ray. In high school. Okay, this is so
funny.
Hold on,
let me ask Ray real quick.
Okay, go ahead,
Ray. Real quick, Ray, have you ever been in that situation where you had to think twice about, do I make this bet?
Yeah, in college all the time.
Or I won't be able to pay my rent.
It was never rent. It was like food. Okay, hey, it was me in South Beach. And South Beach would be like, hey, if I don't win this bet, dude, I literally have to eat oatmeal for an entire 2 weeks until I get paid.
See, that's okay.
A gambler.
That's a gambler.
It was never rent. It was always food, though. Like, sometimes me in South Beach, all right, we're not going to the bars or eating out for the next 2 weeks.
There is Austin another dimension, though, when it's like feed my family.
Yes. Austin was so, like, he's just wired different, I guess. And
that's crazy, dude.
We're in
that
accounting
moment,
you're like, okay, in high school. Mr. Lampkin, okay? And we're sitting there talking, and there's this guy, Eric. You know his younger brother, Miller.
Miller.
Okay? And Eric's talking about how they moved there from Massachusetts to Austin, Texas. And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty good at basketball, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sad I was too late to try out for the team because I'm pretty good. And my buddy Austin said, you want to go play one-on-one? First 1-10 wins, make it, take it. I get the ball first. You start 9-0. We'll play for each other's car.
This was Austin in high school?
This is high school.
This is 17 years old. And I mean, this guy, Eric's face was like,
for my
what?
Car?
For my car? He goes, yeah. He goes, if you're good at basketball, let's go play. I mean,
Did they do it?
No. Eric got to. He was going to give him 9 points, and all he had to do was make one basket, but Austin was going to start with the
is
ball.
Is Austin a good basketball player?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So he's a good golfer, and he's good at pool. He's good at everything.
Who is he? The world's most interesting man?
But that's crazy that he's good at everything, but he's so confident that he's going to be a gambler in a profession where you could possibly lose all your money.
In a profession that's a gamble.
Really, that you could possibly end up your career with $0.
Like, he was driving to a corporate job every morning, and he had a computer set up in his car, and he was playing online poker as he would drive. And after about a year, year and a half, he said, you know what? This is stupid. And quit his job. He goes, this is a waste of time. Why am I going into work?
Well, then he's obviously doing something he loves to do, so I'm happy for him.
He loves it. Loves
that's
it.
That's pretty. I'd like. Have I met him?
Nope.
I want to meet this dude.
Yeah, why have we not met this guy?
I mean, I don't know if he likes me probably telling all his stories, but
that's all right.
That's what he does.
Coach, those are some great stories. Eddie comes with the golf story, and then you come with the Austin poker guy in his car while he's driving story.
And you come with Lunchbox come with us to the Jake Owen freaking Phil Mickelson story.
Yeah, like, because before we started, Eddie's like, "What are we gonna talk about today? What? There is nothing to talk about." I mean, that story.
I feel like
I was sitting on it, just going, "Oh, I can't wait to say it." But right when I walked in this morning, I wanted to tell you about it, but then I was like, "No, save it."
Well.
Save it.
Yesterday, we left the studio after our podcast, and I called my wife, and she's like, "How's your day?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I just feel like just not good. Like, I feel negative. I feel like there's a negative film around me. Like, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I got pissed at Lunchbox on the podcast for freaking dogging Duke, like a college basketball team I don't give two craps about. And I'm like getting so irritated by the way you talk about that team being so bad. I'm like, I don't know why I felt like that yesterday.
And just so you know, I never said they were that bad. I just said they had flaws. Like in the beginning of the year, they came out and they were like, wow, they're amazing.
Guns ablaze and beat Kentucky by 50.
And guess what?
Sorry.
I don't know if they ever improved the entire season.
That's a great call.
Good point.
And that's why I was saying Coach K, I thought, did a bad coaching job.
And on
because
the
I think they thought, you know what? Look at how good we are, and we don't have to practice.
They don't
made.
Have to step it up. They never had the we need to step it up point.
Right,
Auburn had that point in their season where
right.
like we need to get better.
Yes. And Virginia, they've been playing with a chip on their shoulder all year because of what happened first round last year.
Exactly. It almost happened again this year.
And
almost.
What Ray said yesterday,
yep.
It resonated mm-hmm. with me. Chemistry. Chemistry, chemistry, chemistry.
That's all I was thinking watching the game. It's obvious, guys. When you see a couple that are hooking up, is there chemistry? You and your boys, man, when you're hanging out with your boys and
is
their girlfriends,
there chemistry?
Is there chemistry? When you watch Auburn, there's some damn chemistry. Those boys like each other.
And here's why, maybe. The one and dones. Are you 100% there?
No.
Well, are you 100% invested?
Dude, I'm
no.
telling you.
Have you been through the battles? Of? Have you put your blood, sweat, and tears into all the work and years of preparation with these guys? No, you've only done it for 3 months. So,
and not only them, their teammates. Are they really wanting to get close to someone that's going to be gone next year? No.
Exactly.
They're going to want to work hard with someone that's going to be gone next year? No.
Just think about it in high school. Hey, guys, I want to introduce you to this new kid. He's only going to be here
for a year.
Though. He's going to steal all your chicks. He's going to bang them all. Okay?
True.
But then after a year, he's leaving. Screw that guy.
Or, hey, Lunchbox.
You want him to come to your house party? No.
Hey, all your girls that you know in your class, consider them banged.
Lunchbox, here's a girl. I want you to marry her, but only for 1 year. Then after that, she's going to just leave you.
How hot is she?
Okay.
No, she's the NBA, so she's real
right.
hot.
Okay, and see, and then here's another thing. Right, you say that because it's like they've never really felt disappointment. They've never felt the sting of losing.
Well, they do now. Oh, no, trust me, on Tuesday morning today, they do.
No, what I'm saying is
they're puckered.
But they're gone. So they're already like Nasir Little, he's a freshman, highly recruit, UNC. He's already declared for the NBA draft. He's already out of school.
Oh, really?
He'd already packed his bags. He was already out. Once they lost, he's like, okay, whatever.
Duke will be packed at the end of the week. Right now, they're still a little puckered.
That's what I mean, though, is some of these teams, they have players that have been there 2, 3 years. This is their fourth year, fifth year. They felt the disappointment of losing in March and what that means and what it takes and the pressure and everything that goes into March Madness. These guys, they've been there a couple months. They win everything in high school. They won everything in middle school. They won everything in grade school. So they get to college, they're like, man, we're the three best recruits. We think we're just going to die. I'm not saying they didn't work hard, but they haven't felt the – they don't have the battle scars with their teammates that a lot of these older team veteran teams do. And look at the teams that made it to the Final Four. Veteran teams.
There you go.
With a lot of upperclassmen that have been through the battles.
Yeah, all the Duke players were crying. I mean, they showed way more emotion once that buzzer sounded than before it sounded. I'll say that. Maybe that's how they play. They like to play chill. I did not see those tears of emotion before the buzzer.
Well, no one shows tears of emotion
before. I want to see a guy cry.
No one, name me a team that cries before the buzzer.
No one. You want to show me some real damn emotion? I want to see a player cry before the end of the game. That's how I know you're invested in the game. A guy shooting a free throw crying.
Like Adam Morrison a few years ago, Gonzaga started blowing their lead. He started crying before the game was over.
Hey, the guy that comes out and wipes the sweat, he's like, dang, there's tears in here too.
Oh, yeah. Instead of wiping the sweat, hey, can you get his tears? Uh-huh. Tears, there's tears here.
The guy with a suit. And what's up with in college, the guys that do that wear suits?
They do. They really
like,
do.
Like, poor, give the dude a jumpsuit. Like,
oh,
some
I thought
kind
it was a kid.
It is a kid. But, I mean, they make him wear, like, a coat and tie. Like,
it's just a look. That. Hey, you do this well, then maybe you can be an assistant coach someday in 10 years. I don't know. But, dude,
something.
They're on the floor in full-piece suits cleaning up the
with
sweat.
With a towel, like, scrubbing. Like, they're, like, working, you know, yeah, if cleaning you're, the bathroom, but in a tie.
If you're in a suit and you're scrubbing the hardwood, pick a different internship. There's a lot better ones out there. Trust me. TV, radio. When I was at the TV station, man, it was awesome. That was living the life. Hanging out with all the hot reporters. You get free trips to high school. I mean, it was cool being an intern for like media. You get free access to everything. Actually, the ball boys probably get pretty good access.
Oh, ball
as well.
Boys get so much hooked.
But they
got
to do a bunch of grunt
but
work.
But they get, like, well, I mean, college ball boys is different, but NBA ball boys?
Oh, that's the way to
oh
do it.
Oh, my God. You know how much and Major League Baseball, like Bat Boy, dugout clubhouse guy, they get tipped and they get jerseys, they get cleats, they get everything from these players. And speaking of, like, maybe becoming an intern and job opportunities, Vanderbilt is in talks with Jerry Stackhouse to be the next head coach of Vanderbilt basketball.
Who is he?
I can already tell by his face he didn't like that.
Who is
well,
he?
Well, no, no.
His face looked like he smelled a fart.
It's an interesting road to go down.
Watching Stack play for the Pistons, I did it all through high school. He was great.
Okay, no. He was a what for Pistons? He was a guard or something?
He played in the NBA for 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years. He was in the NBA for a long time. Yes, he was a guard shooting. I mean, I don't know definition. He wasn't a point guard, so I guess a two guard or a three. But he's been an assistant coach, and he coached in the D League, but he's never been on the recruiting trail. He's never, I mean, he was as a player, he was recruited, but I don't think as a coach he's ever had to go out and recruit anybody.
Vanderbilt didn't win in the SEC. They're going for something.
It's a weird, it's thinking outside the box, not going for one of these young and up-and-coming coaches at one of these smaller schools because they tried that with Bryce Drew, and it didn't work out. So it's interesting, but I just don't know if I'm all on board with it. I don't really understand.
I don't get this. So Tyronn Lue went from NBA to being a head coach, I mean, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He sucked, though. Jerry Stackhouse was better in the NBA than Tyronn Lue. Why did Jerry Stackhouse have to go to the D League?
Well, Tyronn Lue was an assistant coach for a while.
That's what it was?
Yeah, and usually the better players aren't as good at coaches.
And there we go.
I mean,
Jordan.
Luke.
Hey, Jordan.
Luke Walton.
He wasn't a good...
He sucked.
Well, no.
As a player?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really remember seeing him play much.
Oh, coach.
Exactly.
When he would get in, it was hilarious because he'd always like fumble the ball or he'd like totally airball a shot. Like,
but
he
now he's the head coach.
Now he's the head coach of Golden State.
Jason Kidd.
At the time, Golden State.
Awful head coach.
Jason Kidd was a good player, though.
He was a great player.
And so, obviously, okay, I got you.
Michael Jordan, the best of all time.
Did he ever coach?
No.
There you go.
He's an owner. And that he has a hard try.
Charles Barkley, great player.
Never coached, though. Patrick Ewing, very good player.
Is he a good coach?
Good coach for Georgetown, baby.
But is he a good coach?
Yes.
Did they go to the tournament?
No, but I told everybody about him, and then they didn't even make the tournament. McClung.
Coach K play?
Oh, boy. I have no idea. I mean, yeah, I assume.
He had to, right?
He was one of the best 10th grade basketball players that he never got any taller or something.
And then here's
there's no way he played.
I would
was
think
good.
He played.
He had to play a little bit. Yeah. He probably played
I mean, I have
okay,
no
idea. I'm guessing he played like D college somewhere for like Iron. I mean,
Izzo play?
I mean, Izzo, if he played, he played in Iron Mountain and he didn't play
Coach
college.
K playing career.
What we got?
He played college. He did, all these guys played college.
They had to have.
Yeah. Coach K definitely played college. Say it like Army.
Army.
Yeah, he went to.
Seems like a drill sergeant.
The military academy.
Wow!
Coach!
Ray!
Coach! I mean, look at him, coach, dude. It seems like he's about to make him drop and give him 10.
Did you research this before we did the show today?
Yeah, because I knew we were going to talk about Coach K.
Oh, he played under Bob Knight at the military at West Point.
Bobby Knight.
He was the captain of the Army basketball team in his senior season.
How old is Bobby Knight? I feel like they're
Bobby
same
Knight
age.
Is old.
Wow, I feel like they're
let's
the same
age. Let's see, Coach K is 72.
72? Bobby Knight's probably what, 75?
Oh, man.
That's crazy that they're both the same age, but Coach K played for Bobby Knight.
Mm. Oh, Bob Knight's 79.
Yeah, I don't know if that's right.
Well, that's right. It could be. No, it's right. He was just
a really young coach.
Yeah, he was 20. I mean, he was probably 25.
Coach, he was a young coach.
He was 25 and Coach K was 19.
Coach, Tyrone Lue was younger than some of the guys playing for him. I don't know if that's factual, but close.
I like the way, I don't know if that's factual.
Coach.
But, and he said, she said going on right now. Ron Darling.
Who's that?
He used to pitch for the Mets.
Okay.
And so he's in the World Series and Lenny Dykstra was on his team. And he just... Ron Darling just came out with a book, and in it he said they were game three of the World Series, and Oil Cam Boyd was pitching for the Red Sox, and Lenny Dykstra is in the on-deck circle before the game yelling racist things, unimaginable insults and expletives in Boyd's direction, foul, racist, hateful, hurtful stuff. He said worse than anything Jackie Robinson probably heard when he... made his major league debut, and he was like, "I can't believe as a teammate, I didn't stick up, I didn't say something to him." And he just wrote it in his book. And now Lynn Dykstra says, "I'm going to sue you. I never said this." Like, can you just write anything in a book and say he said, and that's what I heard?
Yeah.
And there's no proof, because back in the day, there's probably not a lot of audio. Now there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah,
nobody's getting sued. Nobody's getting in trouble as long as you say that's how I remember it.
That's right. That's right. That is your big disclaimer. Like, you can't go out and say something like, this happened and it's factual. I swear to God, this happened. Like, if you do that, you better be right on it. You better be ready to get that legal team when they're going to come sue you. But if you cover yourself with a, at least that's how I remember it, they'd be like, well, he just said he could be wrong. You take it for what you think it is. You read the book. That's the thing. A book is entertainment. It's not anything that's like a legal document that says this is the truth. It can be completely, it can be a lie. It's like a movie. You can't sue a script writer in a movie. They just made that up. That's why in the movies they say this was
a scene might be a little bit fictional.
Or they say based on a true story.
Based on a true story. Exactly. Some characters may have changed names for whatever reasons. But and they'll say in the disclaimer that it's not actually factual. It was based on a true story.
So same yeah, thing. So he can't get, so
well,
when Dykstra,
he's gonna sue,
but then he can't win because he says that's
Dykstra ain't winning. He's a crazy person,
right? That's
he's been all over the news.
Is that a well known thing?
Oh yeah,
oh, he's
dude,
been in
he's
a lot of trouble.
In tons of
like
he's
what?
Goes to jails, this that. It seems like
tax
drugs,
fraud,
stealing,
drugs,
like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yes, all this stuff. So yeah, I just thought it was interesting that you come out and I mean, because when you want to sell a book, I guess you got to put crazy stories in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't that where all the headlines get their stuff? Like, oh, it turned out that so-and-so was a huge heroin addict, according to someone's book. You know what I mean? Like, that's when everything comes out, when someone writes a book.
These books, they tell me, people bottle stuff up, and people got secrets.
And people write things down.
Hey.
Write stuff down.
Yeah, they write things down because how do you remember all these things and stories unless you're taking notes?
Right. People love their writings. But yeah, hey, there's secrets out there. Thank God for books. Boom, here we go. Somebody wants to make some money, and then that's where we get. I'm sure that story is very close to the truth. I mean, I don't think he'd make something up out of thin air. But
unless they didn't, I guess they didn't like each other, obviously. And so they probably still don't like each other. And Lynn Dykstra says, I would like to fight him.
On another note, though, like why are these names gone? Like Oil Can Boyd, like Catfish Hunter.
You're saying the big nicknames.
We need nicknames back.
Oil Can Boyd is his name.
His first name was Oil Can?
Yeah.
Are you sure? I don't think his mom named him Oil Can.
Oil Can.
All right, ma'am, here's your baby. What's his name?
Oil.
Middle name?
Can.
Okay, Dennis Ray Oil Can Boyd.
Exactly. Don't be an idiot. But we need these nicknames back.
His nickname has been reported as coming from his beer drinking days in his hometown of Meridian, Mississippi, where beer is referred to as oil.
God, I love that. Like, it's just like, old oil can. Like,
you know what? You're so right. The generation now of baseball players don't really have, like Bryce Harper, no nickname.
Yeah, we need to come up with some nicknames for these
people. But back in the day, they all had nicknames. Babe Ruth, Salt and a Swat, Sam Musial, the Iron Horse.
Yep.
Basketball players. The Kid.
Hammering
Hank. Say Hank Kid.
Everybody had a nickname. I mean, the best player right now, Mike Trout. Why ain't the guy called Fish?
Yeah, Fish. Something. Mike Trout Hook.
Fish Hook.
Something. You know what I mean?
Like, he doesn't have a nickname? Bryce Harper doesn't have a nickname?
Yeah. You're telling me the Judge? I mean, that's his last name. That's not really his name.
So that's still a nickname.
They're trying. It's his name, but Judge. The Honorable. Like, if they did something like the Honorable Aaron Judge, like, that would be cool.
So,
cool.
LeBron, thank God we gave him King. Thank you.
I think he gave it to himself.
Perfect. Well, okay. Well, then at least somebody has a damn nickname. I mean, Durant. What? Oh, Tarantula? Durantula?
Yeah.
Is it Durantula? Yeah. Durantula. I've never heard that.
Yeah, they need to use it more. I was an announcer, I'd be like,
I haven't heard it.
Dude, if I was an announcer, I'd be like, for the winner, Durantula. Yes. Got it. Crawling all over the web.
Chosen one. I'm just trying to think of names of
Air.
Air Jordan.
You know, like, there was a time
Big Poppy.
Okay. I love the Big Poppy.
There we go. There's a nickname. Coach, there's not a lot.
There's really not a lot of nicknames. Nope.
Nolan Arenado? I mean, please, somebody come up.
Nolan was the Express. Nolan Ryan. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, even he had
baseball. It crossed everything. Everybody had a nickname. Bo Jackson, was he the Big Hurt? Or was that somebody else?
That's Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas.
Bo Jackson, I don't think, had one.
I mean, Neon Dion.
Neon Dion.
Ken Griffey.
The Kid.
Yep.
They call him The Kid?
Yeah.
Ozzie Smith. The Wizard of...
The Wizard of Westwood. Smith.
See, these guys had the nicknames, man. Like, Carl Malone, the mailman.
The mailman.
I mean, dude, come on. What a nickname.
We need to come up with, like, some of these top baseball players.
Well,
okay, for tomorrow, try to think of some nicknames for just modern-day athletes. Okay. I mean, it doesn't have to be baseball. It can be football. It can be basketball. It can be baseball.
Okay.
Let's try to come up with some, and that's a good segment. I don't know. I mean, it may suck. It may be good. And if you have any ideas, guys, maybe we're missing something we don't realize.
There aren't a lot if we are missing
them. Sore Loser Show on Twitter. And I don't know.
We come up with, though, we have to use it every single time we talk about that player.
Exactly.
Like, whatever we decide.
If it's good.
If we get it off Twitter, like, we will just continue to call them by that name.
And then that's like their name.
And then, hey, before you know it, the SportsCenter is using it on the headline.
Because I wonder if Bryce Harper does have a nickname and I don't know it. I mean,
David Robinson.
The Admiral.
The Admiral.
Admiral.
Oh, the Big Fundamental.
There you go.
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan.
Wow.
The Frenchman. Parker.
Yeah.
Is that Frenchman? I don't think they call him that.
Man, I'm trying to think if anybody
else. My mom just called him Parquet.
Who else in the NBA right now? I can't even. Steph Curry.
I mean, we need Steph Curry. Splash Brothers, which is cool, but that's just the two of them.
Like, but that's still a nickname.
Yes.
So that's a nickname.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
Was Pee Wee Reese...
Cousins. Thank you.
Boogie. Was Pee Wee Reese, was he like... was that his real name, Pee Wee?
You're asking the wrong person.
But even
Who was the other little baseball... Yogi Berra. Was Yogi his real name? Or was it like after the bear? Yogi Bear.
I don't know. But I don't know what your question is.
His name is Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
There's a cartoon character, Yogi Bear.
Yeah, but his real name was Yogi Bear.
Okay. No.
Okay.
That's my question.
I googled nicknames.
Okay.
Mike Trout is Millville Meteor.
Okay, no, get out of here. Get out of here.
Jose Altuve, Gigante.
Gigante. That's giant. Get out of here.
Literally get out of here.
Stop.
Like, these aren't even popular.
These are terrible.
Oh, Panda.
There you go. There's the a freaking panda. Nickname. Yeah, but Thank you.
Well, I saw he played last night.
Felix Hernandez, King Felix.
Yeah.
Okay. Brett Gardner, Squirrel.
Like,
I mean,
like,
that's terrible.
Craig Kimbrell, right? Is that his name, the closer?
Yeah, the one that does his arm. He doesn't have a team right now.
He needs something.
Oh, dude, back in the day, John Rocker? Rocker was the... What was his nickname? Or who was the Rocket?
Roger Clemens. John Rocker.
Coach. But then Mitch Williams, he was the Wild Thing. I mean, Coach, there was some great nicknames.
That was from Major League.
No, but that's what his nickname was.
His nickname was the Wild Thing.
In real life?
Yeah, even the announcer was like, uh-oh, here comes the Wild Thing.
Because he has a wild
pitch. Coach, he never knew he was going to throw it.
That is so funny. God, that's...
Yeah, we need it. We'll work on this tonight.
Like, yeah, why did we go away from nicknames?
It's weird. And even Boogie Cousins. I mean, Boogie's not a real nickname. I mean, back in the day, they gave him real nicknames. The Sultan of SWAT. I mean, these are like actual... Boogie's not even like a... It will still roll with it, but it's not even cool.
But here's the thing. Like you said, Altuve is like Gigante. Like, if that is his nickname, then every announcer needs to go with it. And there is another home run for El Gigante.
A popular nickname that actually was popular and everything? Johnny Football. Thank you, Johnny Football.
Yeah,
Thank you.
That kind of died after everything.
When he died.
Yikes.
I mean, that's what happened. When his career died, his nickname died.
Mm.
That's how it works. And Bryce Harper, speaking of, goes back to Washington tonight.
Boo! I saw a lot of that.
Did they boo him because he left them for more money?
They're not only going to boo him.
They're going to throw batteries at him.
No, that's New York.
Philadelphia does that.
Coach, one time John Rocker was coming on the field, and they were like throwing batteries at him and crap. He was scared because he said he's going to ride the 6 train or whatever to the game. They're like, how are you going to get to the game?
No, he said he wasn't because he doesn't want to get diseases and stuff like that.
Okay.
He said that?
Yeah, John Rocker was crazy,
dude.
He was the Rocket?
No.
Nope.
Just kidding.
Hey, funny story. A guy that I went to high school with, his brother played minor league ball and got choked out by John Rocker.
Wow.
That's badass.
I wonder what Rock's doing now. Probably lifting like 400 pounds.
Or in jail
or fighting somebody. I don't know. Something like that. I mean, who knows?
Hey, so Harper, though, a lot of the fans, you know, everybody bought Harper jerseys, but a lot of the people didn't want to get rid of the Harper jerseys. So they just cross out the Harper in the back and write stuff in.
They didn't burn it?
No, they put Soto and they try to change it.
They change it to other guys'
That's
names.
That's funny.
But they don't want to get rid of their jersey. It's a nice jersey.
Yeah, and congratulations to John Calipari. He's a Kentucky Wildcat for life. He signed a lifetime contract. He is, whenever he wants to retire, he can retire.
He's the coach.
There you go, Kentucky. Because you got your first ever lifetime contract.
So you're not, because he's not going to the NBA, UCLA. Okay. He's not going to UCLA. We can stop the rumors every year that he's interested in jumping back to the NBA to try it again. He is staying at Kentucky. And there you go. Okay. You have your coach.
If that were me, like, you know how they kept showing
and he makes over $9 million
a
year?
In college. That's crazy.
That's so nuts.
That's a lot of money.
But, I mean, think about the revenue, man. That team
brings in so much.
For the whole school.
No, I understand.
That basketball team, not the football team, not the hockey team,
there's
not
very
the track
few
team.
Schools that the basketball team makes money.
Yeah.
Kentucky, Kansas. I would
Texas.
Bet North Carolina. No, not Texas.
Texas doesn't make money?
I doubt
Villanova.
It.
Villanova?
I don't know.
Okay,
anything.
Now you're just naming
Duke.
Teams.
Okay, I'm sorry. Have you ever seen Villanova play football?
All right, Michigan State. I mean, how do you actually
Michigan
know if they
State
make money?
Michigan State has a good football team.
I know, but how do you know if they make money?
Because how do you know the school exists?
I think Texas just
Xavier. I didn't even know Xavier. I don't even think Texas has to be.
Texas doesn't even have to be good. They just have the Hook'em. Like, the Hook'em will always be popular.
Texas
they'll always
make need,
money.
The
Texas
football team makes money.
Yeah.
Not the basketball team.
But Texas is a state school. The state schools don't need athletics to make money. Like, their priority
Kentucky's not a state school?
It is, but they're not. They don't have they don't have that base. Like, Kentucky is a powerhouse basketball team.
Texas is
not a powerhouse football team.
What?
Excuse me?
They're not. You can't put them in the top 5 football teams in the country. Like,
but revenue wise they are.
Well, yeah, but I'm not. Oh, yeah,
Coach, you're talking revenue, popularity.
Well,
that's what I'm talking about.
Coach, we're
guys,
crossing
what,
all
what
over.
What makes money? Popularity. Like,
and that's what Texas
that's
is.
That's what I just said about Texas. Texas makes great money.
Okay.
Good God.
The football does. Basketball, I don't think, makes money.
I don't think Texas basketball. I guess I just have a different perspective of it from living in Texas. Like, University of Texas was just where everyone went to school. Like, no one were huge, until I moved to, I lived in Austin for 10 years, everybody watched Texas football. But when I lived in South Texas, McAllen, come Saturday, everyone was watching Baylor, Tech, they were watching A&M, they were watching Texas, they were watching every single Texas football team.
Coach. I lived in the North. I lived everywhere. I didn't ever hear about Baylor, Tech.
You never heard about A&M?
You know who I'd heard about? Damn, Texas, baby. Hook 'em horns.
You never heard about Texas A&M?
Coach, the first thing I ever scored a touchdown, I said, what is my friend doing with this? He was doing the hook 'em horns. He wasn't doing an A&M gig. He was doing a horn, baby. Everybody does the damn horn.
Maybe I'm just delusional, but...
Yeah, I think you are. Growing
up, the Longhorns were not the top... football.
I didn't even know Baylor
America.
Had a football team until Art Briles about 5 years ago. I mean, that's when their football team was actually even on the map. No one even knew Baylor as a school. I mean, barely even knew they were there. They were nothing. Baylor was,
exactly.
But yes, Texas. I mean, that's what I'm saying. So yes, those big schools. So John Calipari is probably worth $9 million.
But they bringing in millions.
They're
million,
bringing
million.
In millions upon millions upon millions upon millions.
You know what I would do if I were him?
What would you do?
I would go to every single... I would sit on the bench every single game to the day I died. Like, I would just show up and be like, oh, coach is here again. Like, all right, move over, guys. Let him sit down. He still thinks he's part of the team. I would just sit right there and just yell and just throw the towel and be animated till the day I die. Why? I'm on the team. I have a contract. I'll even carry the contract in my back pocket.
Hey,
you can't get me out of here.
We thought those baseball contracts are dumb, how they make them for like 15 years. We just found one that's dumber. A lifetime coaching contract.
How they kept showing that Purdue coach, you know?
Matt Painter.
Matt Painter.
I like him.
They put Painter in the seats. Nah, not me. If I had a contract, year life contract, I'd be sitting right there on that bench next to Coach K.
Oh, coach.
That's really funny. That's really funny that you just, and you know what? Who cares? I'm just going to sit here and yell.
Hey, good job negotiating that. What if the school was like, all right, we have 5 years? And Calipari's like, mm-mm. Lifetime.
He just goes up higher. He just throws his thumb up. Higher. More. Longer.
I mean, so he won that negotiation.
So, yeah, the contract.
If you technically die and they bring you back to life, does the contract still stay?
It's a contract extension until Calipari retires, and then he gets a role as a lifetime ambassador to the university.
Oh, dang. They're not going to let him sit on the bench then.
Wow.
Yeah.
They'll be like Painter. Just put him in the front row.
Dang.
No, not Painter. They kept showing Gene Cady. Matt Painter.
I don't know who's
yeah, Coach,
who's.
I need you to always think about stuff Eddie says because I knew he couldn't have been factual with that.
I didn't say I knew who it was.
Well, you said showing the coach.
I wanted to know
on the sideline. I mean, like,
I wanted to know
coach
Gene
ball
Cady.
Cap.
I wanted to know how you just randomly knew who that coach was.
I didn't.
I knew that, which is why I should have been paying total attention to you.
It was the old man that's sitting
Gene Cady, yes.
That's it.
All right.
When they showed like Magic Johnson stuff, you knew that was Magic, right?
Did I just win a bet?
Oh my
hey.
God.
Nice. Ukraine basketball. I just won a 2-game parlay.
Hey, when they showed Magic Johnson on the bet on the crowd, you know that was him, right?
Yes,
all right.
Coach.
I'm just saying you've learned a lot through this
Magic...
show.
I'm sorry I didn't know who Coach Painter was, and I thought he was the old coach, the old man coach that they kept showing in the stands.
I mean, you don't know who Jerry Stackhouse is?
I know the name, but I don't know who Jerry Stackhouse
everybody,
is.
Man. Everybody when we were kids, you shoot a three, you always go Stack.
No, Stockton. Bird.
You didn't say Stockton.
Larry Bird.
Hey, no, on the playground, nobody was Stockton because all he does is pass. Boring.
I mean, I grew up on Bird versus Jordan, dude. You don't even know that game. He doesn't even know that Nintendo game.
Wow.
I know Bird Jordan.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was those are the basketball games I grew up with.
All right.
First basketball memory I have, Jordan shooting a jumper, and he never missed them. There you go.
That's crazy. I looked up his stats, and he shot 1,000%.
Yeah, he missed a couple. Coach.
He shot 100% for his career.
Every time I turn on damn WGN, Jordan's drained a jumper. Every time from the corner. He didn't miss.
You know what sport I never watched as a kid?
All of them?
Got his ass. Got his ass. Got his ass hard.
Dang, what a jerk.
Coach, what one?
That was the best one.
Oh,
can we just go home now?
We got to.
Which one?